I think self-control is probably the easiest to have a common definition. It is discipline.
Well, I think for me, it's holding in your emotions. Mm-hmm. Self-control is like
yep.
keeping it all contained mm-hmm. inside, keeping your mouth quiet, mm-hmm. not showing any body language, like really just on the outside, everything looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you know it's not.
Yeah, that's good, actually.
That's how I think of it.
Control of your emotions. Mm-hmm. Welcome to Study with Friends. We are a group of women studying the Bible together, inviting you to join us as we deepen our relationship with God through His Word. This week is part 4 of our study in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit. If you need to catch up with us, please get to our website, studywithfriends.org, and pull up the series in the search box. You can listen there online, or search us on iTunes, or tune in radio. That's studywithfriends.org. While you're there on our website, click on your favorite social media channel in the upper right-hand corner of the site to follow us for daily inspiration from God's Word. You'll find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. When you can't be with us here, we love being able to encourage you there. Okay, self-control. Raise your hand if you prayed this over your children like 500 times in their lives. God, will you please grow the fruit of self-control in my child?
Yes.
Okay, remember those fruits, God? Remember the fruits? You promise. Could you please right now?
Yeah. And why isn't that one first?
Because we're impatient
that
for it.
I am lacking there.
Can you please grow self-control in my child?
Need to like tattoo it.
And while I'm waiting for you to do that, can you grow self-control in me?
That's it.
Exactly.
Too.
Okay.
As I try to teach my 13-year-old self-control, I am losing control.
My control.
Yeah.
I call that becoming unhinged.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And flying out the door.
It's such a sophisticated way of saying I freaked out. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I think self-control is probably the easiest to have a common definition. It is discipline.
Holding
it in. Self-discipline. I used to have really good discipline about working out. There was a season, a long season in my life, and I had some health issues. But I look longingly to the time when I will have this self-discipline to be exercising. And, you know, whether I'm pain-free or not. I think that's a self-discipline that I admire because, you know, pain, you have to work through it, whatever. But especially if you're going to have it all the time, so you just have to do it anyway. And so I really long for getting back to the discipline. And I think self-control and self-discipline is a very admired, worldly admired. Oh, she's an early riser. Oh, he's to work by 7. Oh, he works out every day. These are the expressions of self-discipline and self-control that the world really appreciates. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with those, but they're not totally exactly what God's talking about. So do you want to add to the common definition?
Well, I think for me, it's holding in your emotions. Mm-hmm. Self-control is like
yep.
keeping it all contained mm-hmm. inside, keeping your mouth quiet, mm-hmm. not showing any body language, like really just on the outside, everything looks really good.
Mm.
Even though you know it's not.
Yeah, that's good, actually.
That's how I think of it.
Control of your emotions. Mm. So I was thinking in a bigger way, control of my life, like the schedule and the whole trajectory of my life. I have a lot of self-control. Like that person is very admired, but you're talking about like the moment to moment.
In the
holding
action.
It together. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very admired too. I admire that. I appreciate people who look like they have it together. I really do. I'm like, wow.
Lie.
I'm like, wow, you yeah. showered and you have makeup on. You're like really cool. more on the common definition, or are you ready to go? I have 2 Corinthians 7:1 and Romans 12:1-2 for self-control, biblical self-control.
I have Romans 12:1-2 if you'd like for me to go ahead. Henry. I appeal to you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, Romans 12:1-2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God? What is good and acceptable and perfect? This is Romans 12:1-2.
Okay. What do you think that says about self-discipline in a biblical sense? In a fruit sense? talk about it in the fruit place.
Again, taking it to God. I think it's in that relationship with God that you are bringing yourself and being disciplined in that time with him.
And what about the word conform? Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Was that the word you said in your translation? Okay. Wouldn't you have to have God's help to not do that?
Yes. And I
to have the discipline not to do that.
We were talking about that yesterday briefly. We were talking about the world and society and what that is doing to conform us to be more like the world rather than more like God. Mm-hmm. And in order for us to not be like the world, we have to sit and be with God so that we can conform to his ways.
I agree with you. And to add to that, I like that it tells us be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It doesn't say transform yourself.
Mm-hmm.
We can't do it, but God can do it, just like you're talking about when we spend time with him.
Yep. And that's the spirit element, the fruit of the spirit, that if you just show up, I'll do the rest.
You know? We have a standing appointment.
And we get so jammed up and flopping around like a fish about like not being able to do it on our own. I was over the summer, I was working through the Bible study Experiencing God, and I really got jammed up on this. And I'd done it before, but you know, Experiencing God is one of those Bible studies that every time you do it, you're going to get something new out of it. Mm-hmm. I got stuck on something and I was working through it with Greg. I was like, I need to talk to you about this. Here's this thing he said, and what do you think about that? And I said, I don't know how to do that. And Greg was like, you're not supposed to do it. God does it in you. God does it for you.
Light bulb moment.
Yeah, it was a light bulb moment. In this particular circumstance, it was like how to discern what God wants from you. And like the author lists like six things. And the first, which is so funny, like he just glosses over, he says, first, you must get your mind and your heart into a place where you will accept the will of God, no matter what it is. Number two, and I was like, whoa.
You want me to do what?
Listen, Henry.
Right.
Listen, Blackaby. You can say that. But what? I can't just do that. That's so hard. That's honestly one of the hardest things. So, that's what I said to Greg. I was like, what? He just said it like it was so matter of fact. And he was like, Holly, you can't. And that's exactly what you're saying, Cindy. We cannot. But just show up and he'll get you there. He'll get you there.
And I've actually had that very experience where God was asking me to take a leadership role. And I said, I don't want to do it. I kept praying about it. And I said, fine. You clearly really want me to do this. Fine. I'll do it. Even though you know I don't want to. And eventually, I was in a church service, and I can't remember the song now, but it was one of the, you know, like third and fourth verse that you don't really know off the top of your head of a hymn. And it said, the tasks that you, O Lord, in your wisdom assign, I will cheerfully fulfill. Mm. And I was like,
whoops.
Okay, I'll stop complaining.
I will brackets cheerfully fulfill.
Yes. So I think that's exactly what happened. I showed up. I didn't have number one taken care of. But God took care of it when I was faithful to him.
Yeah. I love that about him. He just wants you to show up. This is what this whole lesson's about, is the fruit of the spirit, that he will grow it in you. This is a good transition to the next question, actually, because it's in those times when I feel like I can't, this is the rub. I look at this list and I'm like, I can't. And that's the right answer. It's actually not the problem. It's the answer. It's not the problem. It's the solution. What I wanted to ask is where you feel like you're not bearing this fruit. And here's what I'm going to do. Instead of asking this question one at a time, let's partner all three of the next questions together. Where do you feel like you're not bearing fruit? How do you get there? And what are the implications of the name of this list, which is the fruit of the spirit. I think we've done some of that, but I just want to really make sure that we are intentionally hitting that. And I really, to be honest with you, in a selfish way, I want to hear about how you're getting it done when you're getting it done well. Like, share your tools with me. I'll start. Of course, this is so crazy because I'd say a handful of people say to me on a somewhat consistent basis that they think I'm a very patient person. And I think of all the things on this list, Greg says that to me. He's like, you're so patient with the kids. And my sister-in-law, she's like, you're so patient with this process. And that's so funny to me because I feel like that's the one that I'm the least good at. Although maybe over the years, having asked God to give me help, maybe I am maturing in that way. And I'm glad that people are seeing the fruit of that in my life. But to me, I find myself feeling frustrated a lot. And that's a lack of patience. And so I'm aware of that one. And maybe I'm doing okay, but I feel that one the most, I think. I think I'm doing okay in faithfulness because I accept that that's God's work in my life and that when I fail, I lean on him. But this is again, that push-pull of like me feeling like I need to be more patient and I need to stop feeling frustrated. Like that's so impossible. When you're in the heat of frustration, for you to stop, has anyone ever done that to you? That's so heinous. Just stop feeling so frustrated about it. Okay. Thank you for saying that to me because that just lifts the frustration. Right now I'm frustrated with you.
Just get out of my face.
So, but that's I will say again, when I look at this list and I think I can't, it's not the problem, that's the solution. And it's because I forget that patience is not in my grip and that I only can be patient and have lack of frustration when I allow God to do what he's trying to do with my heart and in my life. And then I don't feel those things. And so for me, abiding in his word, finding the time, making the time, forcing the time to spend in his word, to spend in prayer, to spend in worship. Worship's a really big one for me. I feel closest to God when I'm in worship. And worship is closely partnered with his word because I have a lot of his word memorized. So I wouldn't say that I also don't feel closest to him when I'm in his word because it's a tie. But for me, worship is an extra thing on top of his word so that if I marry those two things together and I just sit and I'm aware of who he is and everything that he is, I don't even say does because that's very result driven, then I don't feel impatient and I don't feel frustrated and my shoulders go all the way back down away from my ears where they're supposed to be, which I just intentionally did. You can't see me, but the girls saw me pull my shoulders back down. So for me, that's the one where I often feel most fruitless and how I have to get back to it. And of course, the implication is that the Holy Spirit has to get me there. I just need to show up. I got to show up and be willing and intentional, and then his spirit will minister to me and finish the work.
Well, and that's what the whole, you know, Galatians 5:22-23 is. It's the spirit's work in you because of Christ. It's not anything you do. It is spirit's. It's God's job through the Holy Spirit to help you through these.
To grow the fruit.
Mm-hmm. To grow the fruit. Mm-hmm. Yes. And so I think taking time, I'm going to jump in and say well, there's so many, I feel like sometimes that I'm just really bad at all of them, but self-control. There was a time when I was really good about spending that good quality time and being disciplined. I'm disciplined about a lot of other things, but I tend to let my mind wander. So if I could get back, how I would get back to that would be sitting down and doing my journaling. Because if I don't journal, I'm not intentional. If I'm just reading and I'm listening to music and worship, it's all good. But if when I journal, I am actually in that moment with God and he is sitting there with me, mm-hmm. and I'm able to converse with him. And I actually find that I am so much more, I guess the fruit is there when I have that time with him, and I'm intentionally with him writing, you know.
Are you saying that when you're doing that, you feel more engaged?
I am definitely a participant versus just a bystander.
Yes.
Sometimes I'm just like, I did it, checked it off the list and I move on.
Yes.
No, that's not what he wants from us. He wants us to sit there with him.
Abide.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's to me is my most challenging one.
That's good.
I also do lose it in the human sense too.
So. Who doesn't?
Right.
I mean, I know Kay doesn't, but You've known Kay for a while. I've known Kay for a long time. I know her kids. I know her husband. And I have to tell you, neither have I ever seen it, nor can I even imagine it, that Kay would lose it. I know. I'm sure you have. But you're such a gentle person and such a, you're just meek, like not mousy. I don't mean mousy in a bad way, but I mean, you're just like very gentle. And I appreciate that about you. Don't ruin it. Don't ruin the picture. abiding. Do you do Bible journaling, like the new thing, that thing I was showing you, Cindy, where you like, you have these Bibles that have space on the side and they have like, you do, and it's almost like crafty, like artsy version of the verse. Have you seen this? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Well, if you saw my Bible,
yeah, I was just gonna
it's
say.
Very colorful. And I also, when I journal, I do all of that. They're not one and the same.
Yeah.
They're usually side by side. Because one day they're going to burn the journals, not the Bible.
Do not. Who's going to burn the journals?
I don't know. Whoever gets them. But they're don't read them. Just get rid of them. Yeah. That's not your business. Those go away.
I see.
The Bible is.
Okay, I get it. I was like, you're burning
request.
Your journals.
At my request. Yeah, understand. The journals, I don't. That's my stuff. You know, not everyone needs to go and be like, wow.
Okay, got it. So there's this new thing. It's kind of a new trend called Bible journaling. And you buy it's called a note taker's Bible. And you have all your verses the way that we see them in our Bible today. And then there's like a 2.5-inch margin with lines. And what a lot of people do, and I think it's great. Especially if you're bent that way. And even if you don't consider yourself to be crafty, the thing that I think is great about it is it forces you to slow down and think about, how do I graphically represent the verse? And you really have to marinate in that verse for quite a while. What colors do I want to use? What images do I want to use? What are the pictures that will create a resounding with this verse? And it really makes you weave into the verse in a way that I don't think most of us in our busy, busy lives are equipped to do. We don't do a good job of slowing down. Mm-hmm. I teach on a somewhat regular basis, actually, a practice called Lectio Divina. People have a really hard time with that. I mean, I really have to do a lot of work prior to that. Lectio Divina is basically, the word means divine reading, and all you're doing is reading God's word, but you're reading it in a way that meets God in his word and allows him to speak to you. There's a series on it. You can look it up. Check the search box at the bottom of any page on our website.
I've done that before, and it's really amazing.
It can be, but it is a discipline, because we do not do a good job of sitting down. Even when we're in our quiet time, it's almost like it's a to-do list thing. So yeah. I've read, okay, oh gosh, not that it's not a good thing to do like a chapter a day, but the thing about a chapter a day is you just tick it off.
Yep.
And you're not, I mean, sometimes, I'm not saying that's true of everybody. Do it if it ministers to you, but don't do it if you're just ticking off a chapter a day, because God would rather you only ever get through one book in his word and really understand it and abide with him in it than you get through the whole book. I know that. I know my God. He wants to know you and he wants to be known. And if you're just reading it and moving on, like you emptied the dishwasher, same level, you're not doing what you're robbing yourself.
So you're not saying skip reading the chapter. You're saying skip trying to get through the whole chapter and just read a few verses and focus on those.
Yeah. And sometimes it's
slow
just
down enough.
And sometimes I'm thinking that's why in devotions, it's just one verse. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is, you know, be still.
Yeah.
What does that mean? What is be still? You know, it's.
Mm-hmm. So what other fruits? What's in your fruit basket?
I too struggle with patience, and I too have many people that say to me, you are the most patient person I know. Well, typically it's in regards to kids, because that's what people see me do, is with children.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I am patient with kids. I love, especially the little ones, as they get old, you know, 13-ish, no, not so much.
Oh, you love them.
I love them all.
I know.
Yeah. But I do have patience, but if you look at my whole life, I'm a very impatient person. You know, I just am. Mm. And I need to slow down. I find one really good thing that works for me is on Sunday, when I can go into worship and I can just really have nothing holding me back. And it's typically third service because I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
And I can really just immerse myself in the entire service, eyes on the pastor the whole time, just soaking up what he's saying, listening to the music, listening to the prayers, just praying myself. That really fills me. Mm-hmm. And I feel it. I feel it the next day in work. I feel it when I get home and I don't get home till one and lunch. They're waiting lunch for me. They're impatient, you know, for mom to get home. But yeah, patience is one of my struggles.
That's interesting. We're using the common definition of patience. I think that's okay. We're talking about patience, the common definition of patience. And we talked earlier about that being more the long suffering and enduring. So let me think about, I do think that there's a crossover, and I think there is a crossover. If your family's impatient for you to come home for lunch, they need to endure to the time you come through the door. But I think it's good for us to be mindful of not asking God to fill the common definition of the fruit as we ask for the fruit to be increased in our life, but that we are looking at his definition of what he wants to do in our life. Isn't that so typical that I'm like, here's what I want you to do in my life? And what I want to be mindful of is, are we asking at least also, if not instead, for what he wants to do in our life? I mean, I think patience, it's okay. I'm not saying it's wrong what we're doing. I did it too. And as you were saying it, I was like, oh, wait, that's not the definition, the biblical definition that we established. It's not so terribly different. Like, I think goodness is quite different and gentleness, I think, is quite different. The common definition to the biblical definition, I don't think patience is that far off, but I think it's probably worth noting that as we ask God to increase the fruit of the Spirit in our life, we're asking for the right version, what he wants. I don't know. I just felt like that was worth making a note of.
And as we allow him to fill us with, you know, patience.
His Spirit.
Yeah. Through his Spirit.
Then these things will come.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I interpreted this question quite differently. When you were asking, where do you feel the most fruitless in your life? So I didn't select a fruit. I was thinking of what area of my life I feel the most fruitless.
That's good.
And I guess that's sort of going back to our thought of all the fruit goes together.
Yep.
You know, and that's definitely something that I've experienced is, you know, when I'm better at one, I'm better at all of them. When I'm not doing so well with one, I'm not doing so
and
well with
when,
any of them.
When are you better and when are you worse?
Well, when I'm filled with the Spirit, of course, is when I'm better. So what I thought of the area of my life that I struggle the most with being fruitful is with my family. And a few years ago, I sensed God telling me that I was giving my best to everyone else and my family was getting whatever was left over. It wasn't like a big fat turkey and stuffing sandwich the day after Thanksgiving. It was more like the crumbs at the bottom of the cereal box.
Mm.
No fruit involved. No yeah. fruit involved. Over the last several years, I've been working on that. And when I've been obedient and putting my family first, and you know, everyone that lives not alone has some kind of family, and you know that each has different needs. One needs an apple a day, one needs bananas, another likes berries. And when I am obedient to God and focus on putting them first and showing and bearing fruit in their lives, somehow there's always some kind of fruit salad left for everyone else.
Fruit salad.
That is really fun.
It is really good.
Yes.
That
and
is yummy.
I feel like that's
super insightful, Cindy.
Yeah.
Very
well,
much.
I think it's a common experience too.
And it doesn't work the other way around. When I put other people first, when I put everyone and everything first, my family just gets those crumbs. When I'm obedient to God and I treat them with the fruit of the Spirit, then there's always enough left for everyone.
Like the loaves and the fishes. Study with Friends is here to help you read and understand God's Word at every stage of your spiritual growth. Because we are listener supported, we do rely on your prayers and financial support. This month, we are considering the radio station plan for 2017. So if you're blessed by us on this station, please let us know with an email to info@studywithfriends.org or a donation. All donations go directly to the costs of teaching God's Word on air and online. Please consider a donation of any amount. No amount is too small. We just want to know that we're bearing fruit here on your station. You can contact us and let us know where you listen, and also give most easily at our website, studywithfriends.org/donate. That's studywithfriends.org/donate. Don't forget you can listen online too. We have every radio series we've ever done archived on studywithfriends.org, so tool around on our website and find the topics that interest you. While you're there, click on your favorite social media channel in the upper right-hand corner to follow us for daily inspiration and encouragement. You'll find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We believe strongly in the local church. If you don't regularly attend Sunday worship and a small group Bible study, please find one. Make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week and in every small group situation. See you next time on Study with Friends.